Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. And if you're new here, if this is the first time with us, make sure and let us know that you're here by filling out a yellow visitor card. And we ask you also to take advantage of that card to fill out prayer requests and also testimonies, answers to prayer. And so we want to take the opportunity to find out about some other things. I'm not sure how to make this announcement exactly, except that all the Phillies tickets have been sold. Oh, here's the rest of it. It says also that we have some seats left on the van, and I forgot to check with Don about this. He says, we have some seats left on the van if you wish to be driven to and from the game on the 9th. So I don't know if you have to have a ticket to be on the van. So if you don't have a ticket, I guess you just sit in the parking lot. So anyway, and then also we want to mention to you that tonight the youth are having a field trip to Freedom Church in Maryland, leaving at 4 o'clock this afternoon and getting back at 10:30 p.m. You have to sign off, youth, on your curfew. If that's past your curfew, you have to get permission. Just kidding. So, and then next Sunday there's a business meeting right after the service. The details about that meeting are in your bulletin. And then finally, we have a work day that's being planned on September the 17th to finish the playground. All right? So I wanted to mention to you before I get into today's message that as we go into the month of September, we need everybody to be on board in whatever capacity you can. We all realize that there's kind of an important event coming up in Josh's life next week. And so he will be away for a couple of Sundays. And then Kathy and I are looking forward to an opportunity to be away to both Grand Rapids, Michigan to see two of our sons and their families. And we just had another great-granddaughter added to the family a week ago yesterday. So, yeah. I know it's hard to believe when I only look 42, but... But we get a chance to meet her, and then from there we're going to go to California and see our little great-grandson, Elliot, that we've been asking you to pray about. We're hoping that by the time we get there, he will be home out of the hospital. He just turned 6 months old. He's been in the hospital for the first 6 months of his life. And then we have a grandson that's out there, another family that we are looking forward to seeing. And so during that time, next Sunday, I'm going to introduce a new series, a study in the book of Ephesians, a series about how we are a church equipped individually and as a church. And what I would like to encourage you to do takes about 10, 15 minutes to read through the book of Ephesians. So if you would take some time this week and just read through the book of Ephesians, and I hope that that's the first of many times over the next several weeks that you read a book that I think is probably the most intense and book filled with the most riches of any New Testament book, probably any in the Bible. Some people have called it the Magna Carta of the church. And I really want us to be impacted as a church as we look at it together. Jeff will be sharing on the 11th. I told him that basically he and Don, who's following the next Sunday, all they've got to do really is get up and read the passage, because it's so rich, and then sit down. That's all they really have to do. But I'm sure that they will have other things that will add to it that will help us as a church to grow, and then we'll continue through that book in the months ahead. So this morning, I want to encourage us to continue in an emphasis of prayer. As we have embraced a new season, obviously we have been pivoting away from a time where it's no secret that Trinity Church has come out of a time that was difficult and painful. And with God's grace and help, I trust that many of you, if not all of you, feel like God has brought a lot of healing in our hearts and is helping us to move forward. And in embracing a new season, the strategy of that title of this series is that what we want to be doing is, as Paul says in Philippians, is we don't want to continue to be looking at the past. forgetting the things that have come before, but now we're pivoting and we're putting our sights on a new horizon. And we're looking for new things that God has in mind for Trinity and for all of us as individuals. Amen? And so that's what we're going after as we continue this morning with a time of prayer. And what I mean by that is this message this morning is going to be a little bit similar to what Pastor Dave brought with us last week when he shared and he had you pray at different points of the sermon. I'm going to push you a little bit more. Because what I'm going to do at a couple of different stages in the sermon this morning is I'm going to ask you to gather together in groups and pray. Now, already some of you have some butterflies. Like, what does that mean? You mean I'm going to have to pray out loud or something with a group of people? The answer is maybe. I've done this many, many times before with groups and congregations. And I can say almost, I think every time as I've walked around the auditorium or the room and listened to groups praying together, I have been pleasantly surprised every time hearing someone pray. Sometimes I've had people share with me they prayed out loud for the first time in their life. Now, I'm not requiring that this morning. I'm not trying to push that. But I'm just saying to you, don't be surprised if that happens. Because what I want to have happen this morning, someone said one time that not everybody can preach, but everybody can pray. And so I want to give you the opportunity to pray with the message. And so you're going to be helping me lay the foundation with what we're going to do. A lot of years ago, Kathy and I lived in Downeyville, California. That's right on the Highway 49. It's gold country. Beautiful area. And the first house that we lived in Downeyville was a house right at the Yuba River, and it was at the confluence of the Yuba and the Downey River. The two rivers joined together right in the middle of town. And so the first winter we were there, a huge storm comes through, and we lived in a house. This was an old house. It was kind of funny. Kathy would fix breakfast, and she called me in the kitchen. She said, "Look at this." And she'd put eggs in the frying pan, and the eggs were sliding to the other side of the frying pan. You remember that? Because you put an egg on the counter, and it would just roll because the house had settled so much. And so we're listening to this storm, and I kept looking out at the river because the water kept rising higher and higher. And I must have looked concerned because one of the neighbors came by, one of the old-timers, and she said, "The river's never gone over its banks." I said, "Well, it could be the first time from what I can see," because it was really rushing through and the water was rising. And we could hear boulders and trees pounding down the river. And thankfully, it never did rise above the banks. But after the storm ended, the waters receded. And at the confluence of these two rivers, one day, one of the high school students was walking along the shore. He started walking in the river, and now the river recognizes way down. And he's ankle deep in the water, maybe thigh deep. And he's walking along, and he kicks a rock. And he kicks a rock about this large and looks down, and he had kicked a gold nugget that was that large. Because what happens in that area is all the gold miners love storms because they cause the water to churn up the shoreline and the riverbed. And so they go out there and they start looking for gold. And normally they find little pieces of gold or gold dust, but not a rock that weighs about 3.5 pounds. Now, this was a long time ago, and it wasn't worth as much as it is now. But you can imagine how much that would be worth on today's standards. And so what I want us to pray through this morning is something that's sort of like the confluence of rivers that come together. And what I'm trusting is that as we pray into this time and pray into these themes, that we will strike gold. That we will find gold in our hearts that we didn't know was there, that the Holy Spirit has placed there. That we'll have a vision that is a heaven-minded vision because of the joining together of these four themes. These four themes come from the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, which is the denomination that we're part of. It's the movement that our church is part of. And the Christian Missionary Alliance was founded by a man named A.B. Simpson. And a lot of you know this, but you may not know who A.B. Simpson was. He was a pastor with the Presbyterian Church in New York City. And after pastoring in Kentucky for a season of time, he landed in New York City, and he was leading dock workers to know Jesus Christ. And as these dock workers were coming to his highbrow Presbyterian church, the rich Presbyterians of the church were not very impressed by the poor dock workers that looked kind of rough and shoddy, but were coming to know Jesus and becoming part of their church. So the rich Presbyterians were saying to A.B. Simpson, "We don't like those kind." He said, "But they need Jesus." And so he said, "If you don't like those kind, I guess you're going to have to make a decision. Because it's either going to be them or I'm leaving." And so they said, "Well, we don't want them. So you get them out of here." And so he did. He got them out of the church and he followed them out the door. And he left that church and began to find his way and started a movement. Really never any intention of starting what becomes a denomination. Just think about it, became a new tribe, a new family. And of course, one of the names that's most well known in the Christian Missionary Alliance is A.W. Tozer, who was a pastor for many, many years in Chicago. And so we have this rich heritage from that comes from the Christian Missionary Alliance. But how many of you are familiar with a title of works that he wrote, a work that he wrote called The Fourfold Gospel? Anybody ever heard that phrase before? A few of you? Well, you get to hear more about it this morning. As A.B. Simpson was thinking about how do we best communicate who Jesus is? Because Christian and Missionary Alliance is the alliance of people that are Christian and have a heart for the mission field, have a heart for the dock workers in New York City, have a heart for the homeless in Philadelphia, have a heart for the drug addicts that need to be set free, have a heart for ways to reach people, but also a heart for the mission field. Do you know that one of the largest denominations in the world is the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church in Vietnam? Even after all of the turmoil that they went through as a country through the Vietnam War and all of that, the Christian Missionary Alliance missionaries went in there, and they have a powerful work moving amongst the people of Vietnam and throughout that whole Southeast Asian area. And so the Christian Missionary Alliance has had a huge impact on different local areas and on the world. And I think one of the things that's foundational to all of that is the fourfold gospel emphasis of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And so what I want us to do this morning is I want to give us the opportunity to think of these four themes that are not just the only themes about the gospel and about Jesus, but they represent the many blessings of the manifold, the multidimensional gospel. And these blessings, I think, can be experienced in our life very effectively through prayer. So I want to set us up a little bit for a couple of sessions of prayer together this morning. And so let me set it up this way. The first emphasis that we have in the fourfold gospel is this: Christ, our Savior. Christ, our Savior. You can go ahead and put that up there. And let me just highlight three verses. Could be a lot of verses, but the first one is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And notice I put there in parentheses, sozoed. Everybody say sozoed. The word sozo is the Greek word for salvation. And salvation, the word sozo is not just spiritual salvation, It's physical, emotional, and spiritual salvation. Certainly, spiritual salvation is the foundation of it all. But we also believe, because of what Jesus did at the cross for us, we also believe with all of our hearts and with faith that Jesus wants to heal not only our soul, but our spirit, but he also wants to heal our soul and our emotions, and he wants to heal our physical bodies. That's part of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be sozoed, saved. And Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save, or sozo, what was lost. Aren't you grateful this morning that Jesus sought you out and said, I want to save you? Just a few things that come from A.B. Simpson's writings on the fourfold gospel. He said, salvation gives us a new heart. It brings us regeneration of the soul. Every spark of life from the old polluted nature is worthless, and the divine nature is born in us as a part of our very being. Salvation gives us grace to live by day. A man may be pardoned and so get out of prison and have no money to supply his needs, but he is pardoned, yet he is starving, and salvation takes us out of prison and provides for all of our needs. It enables us to rejoice in the glory of God, which is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It brings to us the help of the Holy Spirit, who is ever at our side as a gentle mother, helping our infirmities and bringing grace for every time of need. Kathy read something this morning that I thought, man, this fits perfect. Do you know that the only scars that we will see in heaven are the scars on Jesus? All the scars will be washed away. So the truth of the gospel and the beauty of the message of the fourfold gospel, that Christ is our Savior, is this reality. Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And everyone, we have been blessed with just a taste of heaven. And whatever we sense about that and whatever we realize about the gold of heaven, it's only, as the hymn writer says, a foretaste of glory divine. I mean, it's just a little taste. We're going to be overwhelmed. I think I've said this before, but I think eternity, some people wonder, what are we going to do with all that time in eternity? Well, I think after we stand there like this for, you know, millions of years, then maybe we'll think about it. I told you about my dad, you know, as he was passing away, he kept saying, oh, wow, I got to go. Oh, wow. And I think that's what eternity is going to be. We're just going to, oh. And we get a foretaste of it in experiencing Christ our Savior. So I'm going to ease you into this. We're going to pray together as a congregation first before I ask you to move into groups for a little bit. But I'd like us to look at some aspects of who God the Father is, Yahweh, Jehovah. We could put these names of, well, let me just put this up. Embracing God for our personal peace and salvation exists when we think through who God is. So if you're trying to fill out your notes in their bulletin, that's what goes there. The blank is salvation. So this next screen, let's put up the screen that has the names of God. And what I'd like you to do is take a moment. You'll have to keep your eyes open, which is permissible, so you can see these. Well, let's just take a moment, and we're going to pause for just a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to lead us through a prayer. And I just ask you to stay right where you're at for a moment. And I'm going to lead us through a prayer through these different aspects. These are just a few representations of who the Father is, expressed through his Son, Jesus. What we're asking the Holy Spirit to do this morning is, Holy Spirit, make these aspects of who the Father is more real to me this morning than ever in my life. Anybody up for that? So let me lead us in a prayer as you follow along with me. Father, we thank you this morning that you have provided everything for us that we need in Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning that because of Jesus, we can experience healing in our hearts. It's because of Jesus that Trinity Christian Church has been able, Christian Chapel has been able to experience healing as a church. And we lift up Jehovah as a banner over this church. We know that as people drive by and they see the sign and they see the building, they may wonder what is in that church and who is that church. And we want the answer to be Jesus Christ is in that church by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that you would be our peace in all of the situations we find ourselves. And we pray that you would lead us as Jehovah the Way, my shepherd. And Jehovah Sitkenu, Yahweh, our righteousness, take everything that's wrong in our lives, Lord, and broken, and would you make them right and make them whole. And Jehovah Shammah, be our light. Help us to see the way and be ever present. In addition to being Christ our salvation, Christ is our sanctifier. Christ is our sanctifier. We can go ahead and go to the next screen. What that means is, after we get saved, we work harder. No, not really. In fact, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that we continue to live in faith, that he's going to help us to become holy and complete in the places where we come up short. We continue to lean into him with faith. And so the next thing I want you to see is this: embracing God as Christ our sanctifier is embracing God for spiritual and emotional healing. So let me read you a couple of passages of scripture, then I'm going to ask you to pray together. Philippians says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and your peace and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then Ephesians 4 gets really down to earth. It says, "Therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So here's where the rubber meets the road. There may be somebody right here this morning that came to your mind as you're thinking about, I need to forgive that person. And that's the last person I'm going to pray with. But maybe this morning, that's the person you need to pray with. So what I'd like you to do, and I'm going to give you some things to pray through, what I'm going to ask you to do is everybody stand up. What I want you to do, and I'm going to push you gently. I realize this may push some of you in a place that you're not comfortable with, but I would like you to get together with a group of four to five, no more than six people. And I just want you to get together, and then I'll give you some instructions of what I want you to pray about. All right? So it'd be easier if you just turn around and find four or five people. But if you want to mingle around, that's fine too. It could be three people. Let's say three to six. All right, we got to keep moving. This is not a greeting time, unless you need to find out somebody's name. All right. Here's what I'd like us to pray on the PowerPoint on the screen. I want you to pray as a group, and we won't have time for all of you to pray, but different ones of you lead out. And I would encourage those of you that tend to pray all the time, are very comfortable with it, just hold back a minute. Hold back and let others lead. Pray against anxiety and various circumstances at school and finances, work situations, and so on. Pray for God's supernatural provision. Pray that we have the mind of Christ in all situations. Pray that we increase in holiness. And with this, you can pray for prodigals and pray for people that need to experience the salvation and the sanctifying power of God. All right? So I think we're going to have a little bit of music playing in the background. And while that's happening, I'll give you about 7 minutes. All right? Go. I don't know about you, but I love hearing people praying together. And so, Christ is our Savior. Christ is our sanctifier. The third tenet of this fourfold gospel is Christ is our healer. Christ is our healer. And as we enter into a time of praying for healing, I want to share a couple of things, and I want to explain to you how I pray for healing. I quit praying a long time ago, if it be your will. Because I think it's always God's will to heal. We just never know when the healing is going to take place. But what I pray instead is, as Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I ask myself the question, my little great-grandson Elliot, will he have physical problems in heaven? Anybody that you know that has battled cancer, will there be cancer in heaven? Will there be blindness or deafness? I mean, we could go through the whole list. And so what we pray, that what is true in heaven, that Lord, out of your grace and mercy, we don't understand, we embrace the mystery that whatever is true in heaven, that it would be true right now today. We never know when that's going to happen, but we exercise our faith to believe that it's possible. A few years ago, Kathy and I had the privilege to be at a meeting, and there was an emphasis on praying for healing. And so the leader, the speaker, the pastor that was leading the meeting asked people to stand that needed prayer. And then he asked them to share with anybody that would stand up that was basically, he said, if you're saved, you're born again, you're on the team. So you get to pray for these people. And so the question was, is there something you need prayer for? There was a young man sitting next to us that needed prayer for a collarbone that had broken and was not healing correctly. He was in a skateboard ministry for some silly reason. Josh would do that, but he had fallen and broken his collarbone and it was not healing correctly. And so he asked for people to pray. So we were watching. This group of two or three people began to pray for him. And pretty soon I see him going like this. And then the next thing I see is he's doing knee bends. He's doing this, and he's like this, and like this. And he sits down, and I said, so what happened? He says, I don't know, except that when that guy put his hand on my collarbone, it got hot, and the pain that I had went away, and I couldn't lift my arms like that. So they said, is there anything else? He said, yeah, my knees are messed up. So he said, okay, well, let's pray for your knees. And he couldn't do knee bends. God healed his knees. So I'm asking us to believe that might be possible this morning. We trust God. We embrace his mystery. He can do it instantaneously. He can do it in process. That's up to him. But we lean into him. In Matthew, we embrace God for physical healing and deliverance is what happens. That's what we're embracing him for. And in Matthew 9, it says, Jesus turned and seeing the woman, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well, sozo. And instantly the woman was made well, sozo. That was the woman that grabbed the hem of his garment. And Luke 8:36 says, "And those who had seen it told him how the demon-possessed man had been sozoed." He had been healed. So sozo, salvation, is about spiritual salvation and physical salvation and freedom from demonic oppression. And so what I want us to do is to pray together. So I'm going to invite you to get together in groups in just a moment, and I'll give you some things to pray through. But one of the things I'd like you to do is ask your group. And we may not have time to get through them all, but you can finish this later with the persons in your group. But ask in your group, is there anyone that needs prayer for something specifically? And now, we don't have enough time for you to share your whole file from the doctor's office. It has to be short. And then I'm going to ask the rest of you to pray. You pray for a minute. You say, do you notice anything different? Is there a way you could tell that something changed? And they say, yeah, you know, it really hurt at first, and it seems like it's not hurting as much. Then pray again. Let's just take a few moments and believe God can do something. So the next screen will list you some things we can pray for. We're going to pray for physical healing. We're going to pray for spiritual deliverance in our families. Praying for spiritual deliverance and healing in our church history. We want to be completely set free of all the stuff that doesn't belong in this house. And then pull forward everything that God has done that he wants us to celebrate as the testimony of Jesus. And then pray for spiritual deliverance for Washington Township in South Jersey. If he wants to spill over into Philadelphia, that's okay with us. So I would ask you to stand, to get together in your groups, and begin to pray in the Spirit of Christ our healer. Go ahead. All right. I think I lost control. I think the Holy Spirit took over. That's a good thing. So let's, we're going to finish up in a few minutes, if you'd be seated for a minute. So Josh encouraged us to start this morning with a joyful noise. So why don't we give the Lord a hand clap for what he's done. And I'm just going to ask you that any answers to prayer, whether it's prayer for a prodigal coming home, whether it's prayer for healing that we prayed for this morning, would you please make sure and share it with us here in the office, and that way we can celebrate what God is doing. Now, we've talked about Christ as Savior, Christ as Sanctifier, Christ as our Healer. And the last of the four full gospel emphasis is Christ is coming King. We all anticipate that day. And we embrace God with anticipation for his return. But one of the things that A.B. Simpson emphasized, and David read this last week, Matthew 9, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And this is a key verse out of Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. That emphasizes Christ, our coming King. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. All of us have a responsibility to be part of the harvest field, or part of the workers that go into the harvest field, to bring about the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. We all anticipate that day, but we all have the privilege to be part of that process. And so before we have the worship team come and close, what I'd like us to do, and you can help me with this, those of you that are South Jerseyans, is that how you say it? South Jerseyans? According to the compass on my watch, that's the south. That's the north. Well, that's what I thought too, but I'm looking right now. That is what it's felt like. So anyway, whichever way, we know it's north, south, west, and east. God knows whether we have it right or not. So I'd like you to stand. And what I want you to do is I want everybody to turn that way. That's either south or north, one of the two.
It's south.
It's the south. And I want you to, we did this last week, but we're going to do it a little bit more geographically. So put your hands up and reach out and imagine the multitudes of people, the harvest field, that needs to know Jesus. And let's cry out to the Lord right now. We ask you, Lord, that you would reach the people to our south. We ask that you would reach them with your love, with the heart of the gospel. And if you might use us, Lord, we would be grateful for that privilege. Now turn to your right, and we're going to be facing the west. And Lord, we reach out to the west in the same way. To all the communities that we know are out there, Lord, the people that need you. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us. Now turn to your right again, and we face to the north. And Lord, we pray that you would bring people from the north to our church and other churches in our community so that they would be part of the church and experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And now turn one more time. And Lord, we turn to the east. And we pray, Father, that you would complete this whole circle and you would reach every region. And again, Lord, if you would use us, we would be grateful. We would be grateful. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.